Coming up next on Marketing Mavericks, we talk to Chris Brandt, who is the Chief Marketing Officer at Taco Bell. He's going to share a little bit about their secret sauce and why the breakfast campaign is so huge for them. We've also got Tamsin Webster and Esteban Contreras. We're going to talk about Oculus Rift and why that's important for marketers. Stay tuned.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Marketing Mavericks is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Welcome to Marketing Mavericks, the intersection of marketing and technology. We've got a great show that we're going to talk all about digital marketing, the things that we love, the things that we don't like, some of our favorite apps, our software, and the controversy that might be hitting in social media. We're also going to talk about some campaigns that we like. We've got a really important guest with us today. The Chief Marketing Officer at Taco Bell, Chris Brandt, is going to be joining us. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Tanya. Good morning, everybody.
So, pretty exciting times for Taco Bell.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should be on camera. 1 second.
You know, Anthony, I don't know how many times I have to tell you, he's got to have his Taco Bell fix in the morning. What was that? Was that the...
That's the waffle taco there. Waffle taco. Anthony, you interrupt for that whenever you need to.
The waffle taco. But I really don't know, what we're doing here. No, seriously. So you guys have some really exciting campaigns. We've been talking, I think, over the last week about the Ronald McDonald campaign. You've got this new campaign that's starting today, which I have some questions about. But you guys have always been great marketers at Taco Bell. You've done such a great job using social media in a lot of different ways. But let's just step back for a minute, because you've been at Taco Bell for what? About a year and a half now, is that right?
Actually, a little over 3 years.
3 years, okay. Before that, you were with a couple of different brands. You've actually worked for Odwalla, which is a Coca-Cola brand. You've launched a variety of projects, including protein smoothies, and you've worked for General Mills, which has got famous brands like Betty Crocker. So you've got a long line of working with some pretty established brands and launching products. So it shouldn't be anything new, but why? I mean, you went from kind of a more healthy point of view with Odwalla to, and I know Taco Bell's doing that, getting healthier. Was that a part of the reason why you decided to join Taco Bell, or was that something that happened after you joined the team?
No, I grew up in Southern California, and so I always loved Taco Bell. Taco Bell was always had a special place in my heart. And I really like the things that Taco Bell did. One hallmark of the things that the brands that I've worked on, whether it be Nature Valley or Yoplait or ultimately Odwalla and then Taco Bell, is they really put a premium on innovation and new products. And so when I was looking for another opportunity, or really wasn't even looking that hard, when Taco Bell came up to work on a brand like Taco Bell, to really shape a big brand like Taco Bell, to do a lot of innovative things, it was a pretty easy decision for me to make to come to Taco Bell.
So Taco Bell has gotten healthy. You know, I'm actually a pretty loyal Taco Bell. I'm going to date myself a little bit here. But I remember when I was in college, I would eat the soft tacos and, hold the cheese. And, I knew how many calories it had. And today you've got a whole line of product that's health focused, but not so much with the breakfast. You've kind of gone a little more towards, I think, the trend movement. Why not have a healthy breakfast launch? Why the waffle taco?
So just one thing. So you can make anything at Taco Bell, lower calorie, lower fat by doing what we call fresco, which really takes off a lot of the sauces and the cheese and replaces it with pico. And so, and the one thing people should also know is you can customize anything at Taco Bell. If you don't see it on the menu or there's things on there you don't like, feel free to take it off, because we make everything to order right there. So it really is not a problem. I think from a breakfast standpoint, we wanted to have a tight menu that we could really execute well in the stores. But, a third of the breakfast items that we have are under 300 calories. Over half the menu is under 400 calories. And you can order any of our breakfast burritos, fresco style, again, where it removes the sauce and the cheese and replaces it with pico. Still gives you a really flavorful, still gives you flavorful options, but at 25% less fat. So there are ways certainly to watch what you eat and eat healthy at Taco Bell. But we know from a breakfast standpoint, people really want a lot of craveable items. Almost everyone at breakfast orders a breakfast sandwich. And so we felt like we had a number of options, including the AM Crunch Wrap, which we believe is the best breakfast sandwich out there in the marketplace to satisfy people's needs in the morning.
So we're right now playing the Ronald McDonald campaign that's hit social media.
And
people love it, right? I mean, it's funny, it's catchy, people are remembering it, and ultimately people are interested now in, you know, what you're doing with the breakfast menu. How do you track the success? I mean, you know, in the past we would, you know, launch TV commercials or drop mail or do advertising, but you use social media quite a bit to engage with your customers and your fans. You've got a great Twitter page, which is a lot of fun. But how do you actually track the success of a campaign like Ronald McDonald?
So, one is sales, right? Are we driving people into the stores? Are we seeing lists on that? But as you mentioned, Tanya, social media tracking is a big part of what we do. We want to make sure that people like it, people are engaging with it. Our whole strategy in social media is to really move people from just being fans of Taco Bell, ultimately being friends of Taco Bell, and then hopefully we can be the cool friend. And so we really try. One of the mantras we have of Live Moss is to be effortlessly cool. We can't look like we're trying too hard. We want to do everything that has a little bit of a wink, a little bit of rebellion. That's been a hallmark of Taco Bell for years and years, and we want to keep that going. And so what we're really pleased about with the Ronald's campaign is that people get the joke, right? People get that there's a sense of humor here. We wanted to make sure we weren't coming across as anything other than humorous and had a wink. And so that's when we got the response that's been really overwhelmingly positive from consumers. I mean, for me personally, there's been a lot of people have sent me notes and said, hey, what a great campaign. I think the best story is we were in a store and this gentleman came in and he said, you know, I'm a college professor. And he said, I have to confess, I haven't been to Taco Bell in years. But when I saw the Ronald's campaign, I just thought it was so clever and so humorous that I had to come in. And so those are the kinds of things that are music to a marketer's ears. I mean, that's exactly what you're trying to do, is get people interested enough, get people engaged, give people an experience in the advertising that gets them to come in the store for sure.
So, okay, we do love the Ronald McDonald campaign. It's clever. It's witty. You're kind of poking fun at your competition. But you have another campaign that launched today, which I have to say was kind of hit a little close to home for me.
Egg McMuffin since 1984, but when I saw Taco Bell made a waffle taco, I figured I would get with the times. So I got a haircut and I got some tighter pants, lost my flip phone, got a smartphone, even took down my Loverboy poster. Now I'm eating waffle tacos and AM Crunch Wraps, and I just made like $700 on Craigslist.
Move on from your old McDonald breakfast with Taco Bell's exciting new.
I gotta say, Galaga. I love Galaga. Why did he have to get rid of
that? I think that might have been the last video game I was actually good at.
I'm really good. It's on. You know what? I think we have a Galaga here at Twit. I challenge you to come here to the Brick House and I will play you. It's a very clever commercial. You're clearly targeting people who kind of have that nostalgia feeling about Taco Bell. A lot of your products we have nostalgic feelings about. But who is your target customer? Is it the younger, you know, millennials, or are you targeting people who grew up in the 80s?
Yeah, I think the tonality certainly of our ad campaign is millennials. But one of the interesting things about Taco Bell is that we have about the same amount of volume that comes from people above 35 as below 35. But what we try to do is we want to be a cool and relevant brand. We actually want to be a lifestyle brand, not just a food brand. And so we really need to appeal to millennials, or honestly, as we will always appeal to folks in their 20s. Because the people in their 20s are the people who define what culture is about. They define, you know, in terms of music and in food and in fashion and everything. They're defining what is cool. And so we need to talk to those people. The great news about talking to those people and being a lifestyle brand like we do is that we're not alienating other people. I mean, I think plenty of people who grew up in the 80s still identify with Taco Bell. They still identify with the things that today are cool from a lifestyle standpoint. And so if we can talk in that tone of voice, we believe, yes, we're appealing to millennials, but we're also appealing to a lot of people because everybody wants to think about themselves like when they were 20s, whether you're 15, you kind of want to be 22. And certainly if you're around 40, you finally remember those days in your 20s as well. So we feel like we definitely want to hit millennials. They are our core target. That's who we want to appeal to. But we think we can encompass a lot of different generations by doing so.
And you've set some pretty aggressive goals. You shared at the beginning of the year that you wanted to double revenue. And that's a lot. I mean, doubling your revenue is a pretty hefty, sizable amount to announce. How do you plan to do that? And how big is social media and digital marketing going to play into that?
Yeah, I think so. It is a bold goal. We had a goal of going from $7 to $14 billion about a year and a half ago. The good news is we've added $1 billion, and I think we have a plan to grow our same store sales growth for sure, but also to expand in terms of the number of stores that we add. And you know, what we do from a marketing standpoint is we have to just listen to the consumer and appeal to the consumer all the time. And clearly the consumer, especially this millennial consumer, is focused in social media. Again, they really define themselves by their social media credibility. And so it has been a big part of our plan. TV will continue to be a big part of our plan, but certainly embracing social and digital. And I think that, you know, as you alluded to, Tanya, we've done a pretty good job of that so far, but we have to keep being at the forefront of that. We are a brand of first. We want to be the first in some of these new places, places like Snapchat, Instagram, Vine. We've done some great things there, and we will continue to monitor where the big trends are, where people are migrating towards, and make sure that we are there with a relevant message. I mean, I think media is really changing these days. There's no bigger revolution going on than what's happening in the media world with the rise of digital. And so our mantra is we need to have the right message at the right time on the right platform for people. And so you look at us in the things that we've done in social media, but also, you know, we announced a mobile initiative that we're doing, and we're really excited to launch that later this year.
So one of the questions that I had, and it's actually coming up in our chat room, is how do you approach, because all the platforms are different. You've got Facebook, which has one approach, or Twitter, and your audiences are different. But Snapchat, how do you actually use Snapchat to promote Taco Bell?
So one of the things that we want to make sure is what is the message on the particular platform that is really relevant? And we were really excited with Snapchat because obviously Snapchat, for those of you who don't know, is you, and I'm sure everybody who's listening to this probably knows, but you can put a message out there and then it disappears. Well, what we did is we launched a limited time offer product of a product called Beefy Crunch Burrito. And we were one of the first brands to actually advertise on Snapchat. So what better way to launch a limited time offer product, especially one that we've had before that had a good following, is to put it on Snapchat and put it out there, you know, just for a temporary period of time. So it was really fun to do. And I think that we continue to innovate on Snapchat, and we're going to do some exciting things on Snapchat here coming up in the next few weeks. Around the MTV Movie Awards. So we view it as a great platform. Again, I think it's putting the right message on the right platform. If you look at what we did on Instagram, for example, our advertising there is very different than you might see in another venue because Instagram was founded by professional photographers. We needed to make sure we had great advertising creative that would live and be endemic to that platform as opposed to just throwing something else out there from somewhere else that might not fit in that environment as well.
Being such a nostalgic brand, and, you know, myself, I've mentioned, you know, I'm a big fan of Taco Bell. My number one favorite item is the Mexi Melt.
Awesome.
So I'm a Mexi Melt girl. But, you know, how do you tap into that younger audience? And so you've got me and you've got my age group. But how do you actually think like the younger demographic?
I think it's really about engagement. You know, the younger demographic, they've grown up with technology. They are always on. They're always connected. They have an innate fear of missing out. And again, I think they're defined by their social networks. And so where we can engage them, and they don't just, you know, back when I first started in marketing, we called all of our marketing vehicles, you know, methods of mass persuasion. And we can no longer just persuade because the millennial today, they don't want to be talked at. They want to be talked to. They want to be engaged. And so we need to engage them with an experience. And so I think new products are great and innovative products are great and everybody likes those. But we have to talk to people and tell stories to people that they're going to engage and connect with in a relevant way. And a big part of that is using social media to do that. And so we want to be where consumers are and talk to them in a relevant voice. And I think that the social media team we have has done a great job of capturing what the tonality of LiveMoss is, this kind of a little bit of a wink and a little bit of rebellion out there. And that resonates with the millennials today in a great way. And so we're not just providing a product, but we're giving people an experience. And that's all part of what they'll connect and relate to in a great way. So we feel like we can exclude people like you and me, Tanya, who grew up with Taco Bell, but the new generation coming out, by talking to them in the right voice and in the right way, we're going to be really relevant for them. And then so when they get to be our age, they'll connect with Taco Bell going forward as well.
You're a part of the Yum Brands. So you've got Kentucky Fried Chicken, Pizza Hut, and Taco Bell, which all have, seem to be combining in locations. And you can get sometimes not just Taco Bell, but KFC. How does that marketing work? I mean, how do you translate the marketing when you have a combined restaurant?
Yeah, so it's KFC's job to drive people into KFC. It's Pizza Hut's job to drive people into Pizza Hut. And it's my job, certainly, to drive people into Taco Bell. So we handle it very separately. We are distinct brands that just happen to be housed in the same building. But we handle everything very separately. We obviously share a lot of learning and tricks of the trade, if you will, or things that have been successful with our sister brands. But by and large, we all operate autonomously and are trying to build our own brands at the same time.
So one of the things that we were asked to talk to you about, which is this idea of a secret menu at Taco Bell. Is this folklore or is there truly a secret menu?
There truly are secret menu items that are on there. Again, that's part of the magic of Taco Bell and customization. So if you see something that you used to have, you can order it. And things like, one of the most popular products we have is the Cheesy Gordita Crunch. You can order that cheesy, it's basically a taco inside of another soft taco, which is in gordita bread. And it's an amazing product, but you can try ordering that with a Doritos Locos taco instead of a regular taco on the inside for a nice surprise. So there's a number of secret menu items that you can order. And that is alive and well, and I think part of the culture of what Taco Bell's about.
So it sounds quirky, but is that a part of the marketing strategy? Or, how do you factor in these types of quirky, the secret menu item, the folklore around, other types of things related to Taco Bell?
Yeah, one of the things you want to give people, people want to feel like they're in the know and they get something a little bit special. And so we want to make sure that we're giving, because that helps build their social credibility. So when I can give somebody something a little special or something that they don't feel like everybody knows about, then that helps build their credibility. They can tell other people. That gets the conversation going about Taco Bell but it's also really a characteristic of our brand. We're a brand known for innovation. We're a brand known for fun things. What we're trying to do with LiveMoss is just give people just something a little bit different, something a little bit better, something a little bit more fun in their day. And secret menu items certainly play into that mantra.
How much of your marketing spend is allocated towards digital?
I'd rather not just share exact percentages because it kind of fluctuates all the time. But I will tell you that we spend a significant amount of money in digital. We have a significant effort in digital. I think that probably will continue to grow over time as people migrate to different platforms. I mean, one of the interesting things we know right now is that from a millennial standpoint, literally something like 80, 85% of them are tweeting or using Twitter or other social media platforms when they're watching TV. So it's not just being, back in the old days, you could put something on TV and you could make sure it reached everybody, but you can't do that anymore. We have to have a much more robust marketing mix. We have to figure out where people are, and we have to have, I think, multiple messages going at the same time. And so that's part of the art of what we do versus the science part. And it makes it an interesting job, certainly all the time.
So you're talking about the second screen, which is a really important part of any marketing strategy. You're such a large company, it's just a large brand. And I think, in a small business or a small brand, you have certainly a much, I think, more manageable concept of how to engage with customers. Your customer base is huge. How do you use social media to feel fully engaged with customers with second screens?
Yeah, you're right. I think, and you know, it's interesting because people talk about the second screen. I think TV might already be the second screen. The first screen, you look at your cell phone actually much more often than you look at a TV. And so, and people are consuming media all over the place. And you see the different, you know, you look at somebody like Yahoo talking about getting into TV shows, and you look at the rise of Netflix and binge TV viewing and all those things. And how do you sort all those pieces out? But it's our job to just be where the consumers are. And so that's a big part of how we think about social media and make sure it's relevant to people, because certainly, you know, we're a big brand. As you mentioned, Tani, there are 35, 37 million people a week that actually go into Taco Bell, and half the country visits Taco Bell inside of a month. But so there's vehicles we can do to engage those folks, and certainly TV is a big one. But the social media piece to engage our true fans and to engage people who are very passionate about Taco Bell. And that's one of the great things about Taco Bell. And you touched on it a little bit earlier, but whenever I ask somebody about Taco Bell, they always have a story. They always have a smile on their face when they're telling that story. We're lucky to have such a passionate brand like that. And so when we can talk to our consumers and engage them in a meaningful way, in a really relevant way, that's really a lot of satisfaction for us. But it ultimately helps build not only the sales today, so sales overnight, but it helps to build our brand over time, which is what we're all trying to do from a brand marketing standpoint.
You have a reputation for using social media to acquire talent for your different job openings that you have across the United States. How do you do that? How do you use social media to hire people?
Well, the people we want certainly on the social media team, they need to be adept at social media. And the great thing is some of the people we have actually reached out to us. We've put out there, you know, asking people to submit. If we're going to communicate in Twitter, if we're going to communicate, you know, in just a few sentences and just a small number of characters, we need people to be able to express themselves that way. So what better way to interview somebody than in a format where they're going to be conversing with the consumer all the time? And what's amazing is the amount of creativity that's out there and the engagement that you can have. And so we've done some experimenting in that space. We've hired people the conventional way too. But I think it's, you know, we're hiring people for their creativity and their social media credibility to work on that team. And it's proven to be a great, what better way to do it than to use the vehicles that they're going to interact on all the time.
How much does, as a leader of, as a head of marketing for such a large company and a large brand, how does your personal point of view play into the marketing strategy? Does that come into play at all? I mean, being a family man or being a father or your hobbies. I mean, how does that actually play into your strategy?
Yeah, I think, again, this is marketing is an art versus a science. And so there's always things that you feel in your gut. And I've been lucky to work on some great brands for some great people. And so I think that shapes me. And then, you know, my individual experiences, the things that my kids really love, sometimes that meets the sniff test as well. You always got to listen to the consumer. But, you know, there's a balance too, especially in new items that sometimes consumers can't imagine them as much. I use my kids. I mean, I think my boys both love our beefy nacho loaded griller. And I think that I might be disowned if I ever decided to discontinue that product. Now, the good news is it's a very popular product all around. So I don't have that dilemma. But, you know, there's certainly things that they're passionate about that we want to keep going. And everybody has that kind of experience. You know, I eat Taco Bell 3 or 4 times a week. And we have a variety of menu items. And, you know, when you go out in the field and with our ops folks and you see what's happening actually in the stores and how things are working and talk to consumers, it's a great data point for you to have, you know, an individual data point in the sea of all of the other consumer data points that we have that you factor in that I think colors your decisions and helps you hopefully make the right decisions for everybody.
You've got a pretty successful, large agency of record that you choose that also promotes some other really popular brands. And I guess my question would be, how do you decide to go with, I mean, an all-purpose agency? Do you try to say, okay, I'm going to have this agency handle my digital, this agency handle my creative? How do you decide who's going to be the creative concept behind Taco Bell?
Yeah, we have a multiple agency model. So we use Digitas for a lot of our digital initiatives. We use Deutsch and FCB for a lot of our TV, but they cross over. I mean, the one thing today is integrated marketing is more important than other. You know, in the past, with TV dominated, maybe you could get by being a different brand on some of the other channels, but you just can't do that anymore. Everything, people see everything all at the same time. And so we have, I think the part of the challenge for, you know, myself and my team is to make sure that all those agencies are working towards the same goal and that we're really clear about our briefs and what's going to lead. So one of the things we love having our different agencies, we love having different points of view. And I think that that is a big help. It's a little bit more cumbersome to manage than an all-in-one agency, but we also think we get great creative and we get a lot of different ideas. And what's at a premium here are creative ideas that we can really blow up into big ideas. And so the more points of view that we have and the more different approaches we have, we feel like the better off we'll be.
It's such a changing landscape, the digital marketing space, and how we use social media and how we play that into the rest of our marketing. How do you stay on top of that? I mean, what's your biggest challenge when it comes to this ever-moving arena?
It is no doubt a big challenge, and things change quickly and on a dime. And I am lucky that I have such a really strong team that keeps up on top of those things. We have millennials that are obsessed with social media, are great at it, and they're telling us what the next ones are. They're telling us, hey, Snapchat is getting big. We should do something on that platform. They're looking at Vine, they're looking at Instagram, they're looking at Tumblr, they're looking at all of these things and figuring out what is next and how do we use it best? And again, how do we have a tone of voice that's the brand tone of voice in those places, but creative that is relevant to those platforms as well? So I really rely on, and the other part is we really demand people who are curious here and are constantly looking for the next new thing. And so, you know, we have, you know, 70, 75 people in our marketing department that are all focused against that. And there's a lot of, we call it know-how. There's a lot of information sharing and know-how sharing that happens within Taco Bell, not just with the social media group, but, you know, with our ops partners, with our innovation partners, our food innovation partners as well. So all of those things together really help us stay on top of what's going on out there in the marketplace, be it technology or competitive actions or what have you.
Okay, so if somebody's interested in working for Taco Bell at the marketing level, how would they go about? Like, what is your advice to the next Taco Bell employee? What should they do to be noticed at the corporate level?
I think you want to demonstrate a lot of creativity, a lot of curiosity, and a lot of leadership. We really look for people who are willing to do things and think about things a little bit differently, bring a lot of creativity to the table. And, you know, and have some fun. I mean, one of the things that we have here at Taco Bell, I think really sets us apart, makes us special, is the culture we have. It is, you know, a lot of companies talk about kind of a work hard, play hard culture. I think we do have that at Taco Bell. There's a lot of camaraderie here. It is a pretty special place that I think you can feel when you enter the building for the first time. And those are the things that I think we really look for in people. And those are the people we try to find that are really going to fit our culture and not just fit our culture, but add to our culture ultimately to make this continue to be a great place to work, but an innovative place as well.
Well, you know, and I'm ever impressed by what you, I love the snarky Twitter page that you have. And I think you do a great job. You know, I ask this question to CMOs all the time. What other CMO would you like to meet or who do you think is really doing a good job in the digital space?
You know, we look at what people like MTV and kind of things are doing from to relate to millennials. So even outside of the QSR space, I think we look to see, you know, what those brands are doing. I think it depends on the platform too. I think some brands do a great job on different platforms. You know, the Levi's brand actually does a pretty good job, I think, on Instagram in terms of the imagery and things that they do. And so we're kind of looking at a bunch of different people. And, you know, we look at Apple and see what they do. Really like the stuff that Nike does. I mean, you talk about a company that's made themselves into not just a product brand, but a lifestyle brand. You know, we've actually, they were kind enough to invite us up there to Oregon and you know, build some learning, build some know-how with them about how they approach innovation, how they approach their brand. So I think that those are some of the brands to me that stand out there. There's some smaller brands that we kind of look at as well, but we want to find our own voice. I think that's the really important thing. What we did was with Liv Moss, I think as we move from Think Outside the Bun We did it because the consumer had changed. They didn't want food as fuel anymore. They wanted food as an experience. So we thought with Live Moss, we needed to really define ourselves. We have a North Star now for the company. And I think that guides us as much as anything else in terms of what we want Taco Bell to be going forward.
You've got a lot of different elements that relate to technology that are a part of your campaign. I mentioned Twitter just because you have a really fun Twitter page. And it's something so simple but can make a big impact on your brand. What mm-hmm. happens? Do you have something in place if for some reason things go off? I mean, how important is a PR strategy to Taco Bell?
I think our PR team has done an absolutely magnificent job on breakfast. I think the latest count was we were over 5 billion impressions in media. And so they have just done an extraordinary job being a big tool for us in a big launch like breakfast. And they did it for us on Doritos Locos Tacos as well. So I think PR is huge. But to your point, Tanya, I think we're trying to react to whatever the consumer says. And we're that's what I think the beauty of social media does. For some people, it can be a little intimidating that you're giving up some control of your brand. But if you're doing the right things, people will tell you and people will defend you against people. There's always going to be some haters out there, right? Haters are going to hate, but your fans are going to help you. And they're going to say some things that you might not even want to say, but they can say it. And so I think that's a big important part of what we're doing. But again, everything is the integrated marketing approach. And so the things we do in digital and social, I mean, one of the biggest things we did at breakfast to create a lot of buzz was the phones. So we sent phones to 1,000 influencers and other folks, and we gave them missions to wake up and live Moss. And, you know, those phones really got a lot of play and people really liked them. And again, if I go back to what we're trying to do is create an experience for the consumer and to engage them in a way that they connect with emotionally. And so when we did the burner phones, I mean, what brand sends people a phone? I mean, that's pretty darn cool. And so as we try to move people from just fans ultimately to considering us as a friend and maybe the cool friend, we have to do things that cool friends do. So, you know, we sent them phones. We've made a rockumentary. I mean, what food brand makes a rockumentary that got us into Rolling Stone and Billboard magazine and those kind of things? And, you know, we've thrown Loaded Grillers house party for people. And so all of these things are just part of doing what cool friends do and introducing people to new things. And, you know, another one we had was we had a Friendsgiving, which is the Thanksgiving you have with your friends before the one you might have to endure with your family. So we're just trying to take advantage of trends and relate to consumers in a way that is authentic and real. And so far, you know, a lot of people who are much cooler than me have done a great job of engaging consumers that way and being relevant to today's consumer as well.
You know, you have done some really interesting things, including using Reddit to answer questions. And I think from a leadership standpoint, I'm pretty impressed with you, your president. I mean, your leadership team is very active, you know, engaging the customer. How important is that, do you think, for any brand?
I think it's you have to have alignment all the way up to the top. And, you know, Brian did a great job on Reddit. But I think it's really showing our personality. So whether it's our CEO, Greg Creed, or whether it's Brian Nickel, or whether it's me, or whether it's our chief operating officer or chief financial officer, everybody here is jazzed about Taco Bell. This is a fun place to work. If you can't have fun at Taco Bell, then something's wrong, right? This isn't the right place. And I think that we know we have to push the brand and we want to be innovative and we want to try some different things. And that's pretty fun. And so that's what makes it fun to come to work. And I think you see that when, you know, Brian did the Reddit thing, or when you see Greg get quoted in different articles, and when people meet these folks, their personality comes through. And we're lucky we have such a engaged executive team that wants to push the envelope. And I think that's really a hallmark of the culture we have at Taco Bell and the culture we've built and created.
So I keep getting this question, but what about the Chihuahua? Are we going to be seeing the Chihuahua again?
Probably not. I think I'm not sure that, you know, the interesting thing about the Chihuahua is everybody knew the Chihuahua, but it didn't exactly lead to a lot more sales for Taco Bell. I think the Chihuahua was great in a time where food was fuel and we were much more of a slapstick comedy brand. And I think that was one of the problems is I think the consumer moved on from those kinds of gimmicky things and we didn't. And so what we've really tried to do with Live Moss is relate to consumers in today's language and define ourselves as much more of an explorer than maybe a jester. And so you'll see us use humor. You'll see us use some smart humor and some you know, just a wink of rebellion, we call it. But things and gimmicky things like the Chihuahua are probably a thing of the past.
All right. Well, I have to tell the chat room because they really want to see the Chihuahua come back. But, you know, we're just dog lovers. That's all. We have Ozzy here, right? So, you know, I'm really impressed with everything that you're doing, Chris. And I'm excited to see. I'm a little disappointed that they did get rid of the Galaga game in the last commercial that we launched today. But other than that, I'm pretty excited. And I think you guys are doing a great job.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, and appreciate your kind words. And stay tuned. We've got a lot more to come. I think, you know, we've done a lot of great things in breakfast, and we certainly have more to come on breakfast. And so if you haven't tried breakfast already, please check us out. But we've got a lot of exciting things coming for the rest of the day as well. And so there's a new Doritos Locos Taco flavor coming in early May. So look for that as well.
I will absolutely look for that. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you come back and talk more about your insights in digital marketing.
Sure, I'd love to come back anytime. Thanks again, Tanya. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's so exciting talking to a brand that's doing some really innovative things and engaging customers in a new generation. So that was, thanks a lot, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
So that was Chris Brandt. You can actually follow him by following at Taco Bell, and you can connect with all of their marketing. We're going to link to that later. So next up, we've got Tamson joining us, Tamson and Esteban. I always want to say Tamson McMahon, but it's actually Tamson Webster and Esteban Contreras. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Thank you.
Hello. Welcome. Happy to be here.
I keep wanting to use your, I guess I'm not used to the Webster yet. I'm sorry about that. How long have you been married too?
Yeah, a year and a half now. So it's been around, I've been that way for a while, but yes, a proud Webster. I married into the dictionary family, which I didn't, but that's all right.
Now you're a senior vice president. When I met you, you were at Allen & Gerritsen and you've moved on. You've started a new role. Tell us a little about your new job.
So Aradium is a company that really focuses on helping companies architect the message to the marketplace. So I would often say in my work that I did at Allen & Gerritsen and other places that between branding and marketing lies messaging. And that's really what Aradium does. So we focus on how do you take the thing that you stand for, how do you translate it to the marketplace in a way that'll resonate, and it's that core message that turns into marketing. So we do that. We do executive communication skills for executives as well. A lot of sales messaging work, branding messaging, nonprofit donor messaging, and I love it. It is my dream job, and I'm happy to be part of it.
Well, I have a lot of respect for you, and I've had you, I've interviewed you and talked to you quite a bit about this marketing space, and we're going to get to that. Esteban Contreras, also joining us. He's at Social Nerdia. He's the director of strategy at Sprinklr. Tell us a little bit about what Sprinklr does.
Yeah, Sprinklr is an enterprise social relationship platform. So if you think about the world's biggest and best brands, they usually have thousands of people using all kinds of social networking platforms, right? So they're on Facebook, they're on Twitter, they're everywhere. And so Sprinklr is the best technology for that, at least according to Forrester, and we like to think so as well.
You know, Sprinklr is a great software tool. Okay, we probably have talked about this a lot here at Twit, but we certainly haven't talked about it on Marketing Mavericks because we're new here, but Oculus and Facebook. Why, you know, I know this is a really hot button for you, Esteban. So how are marketers actually going to use this? This is a little bit scary, I think, to the people who are really big fans of, you know, this new technology. But there's some opportunity that's actually kind of exciting. What do you see as the opportunity for marketers?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely exciting, I think, for everyone. Those with geeky hearts will worry about what is happening to Oculus VR. The rest of the world that didn't even know that there was a new version of the Virtual Boy, you know, they're thinking, they're probably scratching their heads wondering what's going on with all this. But I think it has serious implications into what these tech companies are thinking about. And if Facebook is making a big push towards virtual reality, other companies like Sony are doing the same thing, then we can assume that this is important. And the fact that it's social, you know, this is Facebook's core, but it's also immersive. So it reminds us of things like Second Life or even being in a movie theater, right? These are very immersive experiences where you are there. And there's nothing distracting you, right? There's one screen and you're stuck with that screen. And beyond that, it can also add a contextual layer, much like Google Now or a lot of software that's allowing us to make sense of data and make get the context out of what we're looking at, what we're experiencing on the screen. And I think that could have really interesting implications for marketing, from movies and entertainment to experiential experiences. At South by Southwest, they did something really interesting with Game of Thrones. But it could be anything. It could be sporting events, education, yoga classes. I mean, in theory, the implications are sort of endless. And I think developers will figure out what works, and marketers, as always, will figure out what works. And, you know, whether Facebook is going to go after the developers more than the brands is to be seen. But my guess is that they'll always try to target those two audiences, because that's where the revenue comes from.
I think it certainly remains to be seen, but I think there are some really exciting opportunities. You mentioned sports. I think there's a lot of application there. I think in shopping, yep, that's important to me. I think you know, you really have to be open. It's a little scary. I think people are expecting, you know, pop-up ads or some sort of like, you know, very in-your-face marketing. But I think what we're looking at is really more product placement or opportunities to engage in a much more virtual reality sort of way, right?
Yeah, I think we'll see all of the above. We will see very uncreative experiences. We'll see stickers. We'll see badges. But then there may be some things that are more subtle, you know, product placement. There may be interesting games. Maybe I'll be able to have my own virtual Taco Bell franchise, right? Like, it's very hard to know. When we look back at how Facebook has evolved and the fact that Farmville was such a big deal for such a long time. I mean, Zynga became a company and it created a whole industry. We have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm sure that we will see all of the above: annoying, horrible marketing, and also some very interesting creative experiences that will be worthwhile.
Okay, you're laughing, Tamsin. What do you think this acquisition means for consumers?
Well, I mean, the thing with Facebook is that they have been, as much as their revenue depends on marketers, they've been very anti-marketer from the beginning. I mean, ultimately, they've been about people-to-people connection. And it's funny, when Facebook changes their algorithm and everybody complains about it and all of that, it's the marketer halves of our brains that are complaining. And yet the experience I've seen over the last 3 to 6 months particularly is a movement of my marketer friends for their personal interactions away from Twitter to Facebook. So when something like Oculus comes along, yes, there's going to be bad marketing to the point that Esteban put on it, but I'm really curious about how Facebook, where they see this fitting into their long-term plan, because, you know, we forget that. I think when we start to think about it, we're like, well, how is that experience going to mesh with Facebook? And I'd be surprised if you see it meshing with Facebook, the actual platform, much at all, particularly in the beginning. So I've just, you know, marketers do tend to ruin things, and Facebook has been very good about figuring out how to get marketers out of the core social experience and yet continue to eke revenue out of them. So this one's going to be really interesting to watch, because it is definitely a long-term play, because something like, you know, a virtual, and we've been trying, marketers have been trying to figure out how to get virtual reality into the marketplace now for a while. Everyone keeps saying it's the next big thing, and yet we still haven't really seen it. And I'm just curious. It's a fascinating question to figure out, where are they going with this?
Okay. Well, you mentioned Twitter. Twitter had a big redesign. Looks a little bit familiar to another platform. What do you think about the changes that Twitter's making and how that affects marketers?
Well, Twitter's definitely, you know, the first thing you'll notice, of course, and everyone has been saying this, is that if you look at the new Twitter, it looks a heck of a lot like the redesign of Facebook. So the new Facebook that everybody's getting, you know, down to the very blocky, very sharp corners, highly visual. I think the highly visual piece is the thing that marketers need to take away, that they are, the focus is very much on how can you engage more parts of people's brains, really, with the message that you're putting out there. And visual does that. So you can have your text message, your text-based message, and then you figuring out how else can I get someone to pay attention? How else can I create some kind of resonance for that message through a visual use? I think Twitter's just figuring out that, you know, there's a lot more that they can do as far as getting messages out there if they allow for that greater ability to interact with and stick messages better in people's brains. Now, what's interesting, of course, is Twitter has always been much more friendly to marketers, and it is very much a marketing platform now. So 2 or 3 years ago when some of the early opinionators on it said, you know what, Twitter is turning into a media channel, I think they were right. And I think what you're seeing now is Twitter starting to stretch its wings a little bit and say, you know, we can be much more powerful as a messaging platform if we put more focus on other ways that people process and retain information and messages.
We talked to Taco Bell, and I mentioned I think they have a great approach on Twitter. Who do you see doing a really good job on Twitter? Tamsin?
I'm going to say that I'm not actually the best person to ask about that right now, because it really has been, as my own professional focus has moved away from Twitter, and I would say it's, I just haven't spent as much time there. So I'm going to punt that one over to Esteban.
No, Taco Bell is definitely doing a fantastic job. And I like to see brands that try to lead in unique and creative ways. I think Taco Bell has taken that approach of being unique, being innovative, being there on Snapchat and doing something actually worthwhile there. I actually like a lot of the brands that are consistent also. So not just innovation in terms of a product launch, but consistent innovation and optimization of what they're doing and how they're doing it. So brands like Nike come to mind, that they're consistently good. And as we get into periods like the World Cup, the Super Bowl or major events, they actually enhance the experience of those events with their content. And social is not just an afterthought. It's actually very integrated and consistent and valuable. And people really like that.
Okay, Tamsin, when you and I first met, it was around this conversation of paid, owned, and earned media. And we've seen that change somewhat over the years. And I know you're really passionate about that specific part of defining the relationship that we have with the customer. What has changed in that space of paid, owned, and earned media over the last few years?
Well, this is not a new concept, but it's certainly one that we're seeing realized is that if those are three interlocking circles, they are now fusing into one. It's very hard to draw sharp lines now, I'd say, between paid, owned, and earned, mostly because the formats are changing. And you can't get good earned media without supporting it from paid. It all has to drive to owned. Increasingly, what looks like earned media is paid media. So I think back to what Chris was saying with Taco Bell, the success from a marketer standpoint is that you have to think about how all three of those work together. If from a practical standpoint you're dealing with multiple agencies, then you need to make sure those multiple agencies are talking to each other. But even more importantly, you need to make sure that there is no single campaign or effort that's only moving or only existing within one of those channels. They have to talk to each other, and how they talk to each other and how they organically boost each other up is something you need to be planning from the beginning.
Esteban, you were pretty excited about kind of maybe some of the social platforms that are out there and what we're using. What would you recommend that somebody who's trying to manage social media at a small business level use to gauge the relationship with their customer?
This is going to sound very cliche, but you have to be where your audience is, and most likely they are on Facebook or they are on Twitter. It really comes down to your ability to be there and to consistently support a channel. I see so many, even large brands, launching accounts for a conference or launching accounts for a sub brand or a sub product or something that just happened in a temporary manner, and that never works out. You want to have, you want to create a place where people can come as a destination, and you also want to be able to understand where your audience is so that you can reach them. And I would say that a lot of the rules that apply to big brands also apply to smaller brands. It's not just about engagement for the sake of engagement. You know, anyone can just get a bunch of memes or meme images and animated GIFs and just post them all over the web and you'll get engagement. But it doesn't mean anything unless you're driving towards something. And that's probably the biggest mistakes that small companies do. They either engage just for the heck of engagement, or they create an account that they can't support and they can't manage for the long term.
So, Tamsin, you have been on the agency side for a while, and you see the evolution of the change in agencies. Are there agency experiences that as a brand that we should look for? I mean, how should we define who's going to help us with our strategy moving forward?
With all the channels changing all the time, with everything evolving so much, I think it's nearly impossible for marketers internal to an organization to stay on top of the channels. And that's where people are getting themselves in trouble, much like Esteban just said. You start to chase the channels, then you are absolutely dead in the water as far as being able to plan effectively for things to actually happen. So when it comes to figuring out where can an agency help you, I'm going to argue that most organizations are fairly good at understanding the core of their own brand, the core of what it is that they want to accomplish. And so look for an agency that fills in the gaps that you don't feel you're already strong with. Rather than try to bring it in-house, rather than try to figure it out for yourself, if you can go with an agency. If you're not good at figuring out what the channels are, then go with a digital agency that's their job to stay up on top of the channels. If you're not good at figuring out, well, how do I translate this brand message I have into something that makes sense out in the marketplace? Well, then work with an organization that's best at that. And it's up to the individual marketing departments, really, which works best for you, whether you're the person that's operating as the contractor to all those subcontractors, or whether or not you want to go with an agency that says they can do everything equally well. My experience is that even for agencies that say they can do everything equally well, they just simply can't. It's lovely to be out of agencies and to be able to say that with freedom. But I really think that's true. I think it's hard to get everything that you want really well in one place. But the benefit is that then you don't have to worry about how those things are all working together. At least ideally, you don't.
So Pinterest is moving into the ad space. I'm a big fan of Pinterest. I'm a little addicted to pinning, but I love it. It's going to change the experience, but I think there's a lot of opportunity here. They're setting that price, though, a little high. What do you think about Pinterest and their movement towards paid advertising?
Well, I think you know, like any of these platforms, they have to figure out how are they going to make more money off of it. Advertising is obviously one of those ways to do it. I think what you're seeing in, you know, if there's a high price piece of it, what they're basically saying is we put a high premium on our audience and you need to really want to be here in order to do that. And I think that's a good thing for them. Of course, marketers are going to complain about that. I mean, marketers are going to say, oh, it's too expensive to be there. But at the same time, that also means that marketers have to be very, very thoughtful about making sure that the investment that they do make is worthwhile. And frankly, I think, you know, from Pinterest's point of view, it makes a lot of sense. We'll see whether or not marketers bite, but I like the message it sends about what they're protecting with their audience.
You know, I think when you have a free, you know, they're not earning money, they're not making money right now, and that's the direction they have to go. We always seem to. We said this about Facebook. I'm going to leave. I'm not going to use it. But as consumers, we will use it, and I think there's a lot of opportunity here. What do you think, Esteban? Are you a pinner?
I use Pinterest all the time. I like to say that my brain is on Pinterest because it remembers things that I don't. And I personally don't use Pinterest to follow anyone around. So brands that are spending money there are probably not going to reach me unless I'm forced to be reached. That being said, I think Pinterest is doing a good job with it. And they're really taking a page from the Tumblr playbook, which is let's do this in a way that is carefully done. It feels premium. It's good for the users and it's good for the brands. And Instagram is trying to do the same thing. I think Instagram got a little bit of backlash because it was so obvious and because the audience there is so used to an experience, whereas on Tumblr and Pinterest, it's not as intrusive. I think that's the thing that brands have to be very careful of. You don't want to infiltrate social networks. You don't want to be annoying. You want to be relevant. And if you're going to pay to play, which is the only business model, there's really only two business models on social media, right? It's either you pay to play, and that's how Facebook, Twitter, everybody makes money. Or the other business model is your WhatsApp and you never charge anything and then you end up at Facebook. So it ends up being with the same business model. So brands will have to pay always at some point. And consumers are just going to have to get used to that. It's always been that way. Facebook's allowed advertising since 2006. I posted ads at universities in 2006. You know, it's never been different, but consumers are more and more resistant because they're getting bombarded, and brands have to be really careful of that.
Well, and as marketers, we tend to complain when we get something for free, like we're doing with Pinterest, and it's driving traffic, that we actually might have to pay for it. So I appreciate both of you joining the show. You know, Esteban, what is something that you're watching right now? What is a digital trend that's important to you?
I think the whole privacy, secrecy environment is going to be really interesting. I can't wait for an agency to say that they have a whisper strategy or a secret app strategy. I think sometimes agencies and marketers get excited about some of these things that are happening in the consumer space. And it will be interesting to see whether that whole trend just fades away in a couple of months, or maybe it will be a big deal. And more than beyond the marketing side of it, I do think that there is a consumer need for privacy that is, if not a fundamental right, something that I appreciate and I think everybody appreciates. So it's something that we should definitely watch and see what happens.
And Tamsin, what are you watching? What's something that you're looking for and you see a lot of opportunity?
Well, what I think is really interesting is the potential around really understanding our customers better. I mean, we're at the point where because there's so many players in the market, because social and content marketing has become the absolutely late majority for most marketers, it means that the things that were working when people started and even the best practices right now are not going to continue to work because everybody is doing the same thing. And the only thing that's left is having a really clear understanding of who your audience is, what they need and want, and how your particular company delivers exclusively to them on that. And that means that brands have to get much, much better about understanding their audience and their marketplace, not just at the aggregate level of, you know, here's this target demo, but understanding really to the point of how do I market to this particular person using that combination of paid, owned, and earned? How do I eventually get them to a point where I have an email address or I have something where I can be interacting with that person one-on-one, even now automated, in a way that reflects that person's history with the brand, what they particularly care about, and all of that. I think that intersection of big data with audience strategy as being the real driver before you ever get to content strategy is something I think that we're going to see being absolutely necessary moving forward.
And Tamsin, if somebody wants to connect with you or follow you, what's the best way they can do that?
These days I'm like I said, been pretty quiet on Twitter, but that's probably the best place. Every now and then I'll pop in and say something. Otherwise it's paying attention to what we're doing over at Aradium. We're going to be launching a blog there fairly soon, and paying attention to what we're doing there.
And running. When do you run in the marathon? When is that?
It's 2 weeks from yesterday. So holy cow.
Well, congratulations. I've been following you and your progress on that. So it'll be exciting to see that happen.
Thanks so much.
And Esteban, if somebody wants to connect with you, what's the best way they can do that?
Twitter is definitely the best way to reach me. So at Social Nerdia or Social Nerd IA. Twitter is definitely the best way. Email is harder to follow up on.
Well, thanks again, both of you, for joining us for Marketing Mavericks, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So that was Marketing Mavericks, and our first Maverick was Taco Bell. We're really excited to have Chris join us, Tamsin and Esteban as well. We have more great lineups coming up in the future. Thanks again, and have a great day.